You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to My Phone and Counting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 44. Not too much going on this week. Star Wars Day, May 4th, so the app review will reflect that. News was kind of slow, nothing too much going on there either, so I'll be able to get right through it. So that's all for that, and then after the break I'll have the entertainment segment with some news, what I watched, a film review, and a Star Wars profile. So with that, I will jump right into it. So to start it off, the theme for this week is the gold standard. In short, it is a monetary system where the government allows its currency to be exchanged for gold and vice versa. So if you're in the United States, you can use your dollars to buy gold or sell your gold for dollars. The same thing in England or in Europe, in Africa, or anywhere around the world where they have a monetary backing using gold. The exchange rate to determine how the value of gold is determined by the economic difference per ounce of gold between two countries. So you have one country that's being used as a base and then the other one who's another country to use as a differentiating value. And it's measured by ounce to determine the value of it. And that's what the going rate is for. And then that varies and fluctuates based on economic conditions. So the value of that local currency and things like that. So with that being said, I'll jump right into it. So as far as the news for this week, Bing for iOS got updated with the ability to search for images by taking a picture. So if you do use Bing for iOS, there is that. Amazon launched a website for Prime Now. So if you wanted to use it or you shop on Prime Now on your desktop browser, you can do that. Dish, the TV service company, launched a new service to help repair your iPhone. So if you're if you're at home or you're unable to get to a Apple store or you just don't want to take it to the store, they'll come to wherever you want them to come. It's $35 for a service fee, so just your regular service call. And then the cost of repair varying from about $40 to $190 depending on the issue. Google Maps got updated to have indoor maps for the 2016 Brazil Olympic venues. So if you do a search for 2016 Olympics or 2016 Brazil Olympics, you'll see various locations. And you'll see a 300 or the different arrow icons when you can browse around the different stadiums. And you can pan around and move around the stadiums that way. Opera Mini got updated with ad blocking. So if you want to use the browser to browse around without ads, that is now an option. It is disabled by default, so you will have to go into settings to enable it, but they claim, I think, go something like a 40 to 50% speed improvement in your browsing. And finally, Google Play Movies on Android TV and Roku got updated to add support for Dolby Audio, so if you want better sound, then that is now an option. So that is all for that. So with that, I will jump right into this week's game review. So when thinking about what to review, I was thinking Star Wars Day is coming up and I'll need something to review. And then I remembered that I can play Knights of the Old Republic on my Android device. So I figured I'd install it and get back into it to give the game another play and see if it holds up as much as I remember back from my college days from on the desktop side. So I gave it an initial playthrough. So what I did was I set up my character. So essentially what it is, it's an RPG game. There's no MMO ability in this version or the sequel, Knights of the Old Republic, the Sith Lords. With Star Wars Old Republic, that's where they add the MMO aspect to it. So if you wanted a more immersive MMO experience, then that what version is the way to go. But if you just want your own RPG Star Wars game that's relatively 3D and takes place in the Star Wars universe, and Knights of the Old Republic is the way to go. So the basic premise of the game is that it takes place approximately 4,000 years prior to the Battle of Yavin. So this is before the Old Republic, before the Galactic Empire, or any of those events. So it's no one that you've ever seen or you remember seeing from the movies, but they do build up new characters and stories that get you into the game and immersed into the environment of the time. So essentially, the Sith and the Jedi are at war. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of Force users on both sides. So you essentially have that war going on, and we're at the time where Darth, I'm blanking on the apprentice's name, but we have the storyline of Darth Revan and Darth Malak, and what's going and their conflict and how they're affecting the events of the galaxy. So that's kind of where the storyline goes there, and you're playing as an officer on the Republic side. So just something to consider. So that's kind of where your starting point is, and you're immersed directly into the conflict. So when you start the game, the first thing you're going to do is create a custom character. You have the ability to select your gender, so male or female, and then your class, so you can be a scout, a scoundrel, or a soldier. So various, or so your various basic skill sets are predetermined by your class, and so what you can do. So soldiers are more, or have more strength and stamina. Scouts are more spy based and things like that. So your various factors are at stake, and then you can also customize how your character is leveled up. So let's say you are a scout, you realize you want more stealth and more ability with firepower. You can upgrade those traits as you want, or if you want a soldier who's a demolitions expert as well as excels at hand-to-hand fighting, you can customize that. So you start off with a certain amount of skill points you can apply, and you can go from there. What I do is as far as the basic skills I even them out so that they all start relatively strong, and then I can adjust from there. And then various other traits as far as other abilities, I like the ability to heal, ability to disarm weapons, the ability with a computer. I manage those a little bit based on how I feel and how I want my character to start off with. And so from here, once you set all those various traits, you can select your player name or randomize one. So you can customize that as well. And then you start right into the game. You get your traditional Star Wars scroll, so you know what the story is or where you're starting off with the story. You get your, and then you're basically jumped right into the game. It gives you a brief tutorial on how to talk to characters, which you're from your main characters to side characters, add people to your party, remove people from the party, and then how to explore the environment around you. So how to move, how to open lockers and things like that. So pretty much straightforward. They give you everything you need to play the game. Here, moving around requires you to drag your finger forward and left and right. So kind of they incorporate the touchscreen abilities of smartphones and move from the mouse based to the finger based movement. And that's really all you need to know how to explore the atmosphere. And it's pretty much straightforward. They'll give you missions so you can go into your journal so you know what you need to do and give yourself reminders of what missions you need to accomplish and how to get there. There's a map so you know, you can see areas that you've explored, various main points that you need to get to or main points of your area so you know kind of where you are in your current world. And then also when you need to upgrade your character, there's a meter to show how close to the light side of the Force versus the dark side of the Force you're on, as well as what your current traits and abilities are. So if you need to compare your players to see who may be able to unlock a door or who may be able to disarm a mine better, then you can see those traits as well. And then the good thing that I like is that I don't really worry too much about my secondary players, so I want them to automatically level up. So I have that setting enabled, I have that option enabled in settings, so I don't have to worry about that. But if you want to level up your characters manually, you can do that as well. And a bit of a tip here is that, let's say you're running low on health and you have not upgraded your character, leveling up your character will restore you back to full health. So there is that benefit as well. So that's really all there is for that. I don't want to really, if you haven't played the game, as of yet, you can now play it, so I will not spoil it in case you haven't. If you've already played it, I enjoy the game very much. There was an issue with the second one where they said it wasn't complete, and if it was kind of rushed out, and you could tell I think there's at least one place in the game for the sequel where there was a opening, that normal opening style door that you could not get into, and people tried to restore it, but I don't think it ever got done, or it was a very finicky way of getting into it. But I did like the first one a little bit more. I liked the first one more because of what they did. The second one I liked because of the ability to upgrade your secondary characters to Jedis or Sith as you needed them to. So that was a cool part about that. So both games are good, but since this one is available for Android and iOS, I thought I should review it. So it's available. You can purchase it in the Amazon App Store or via Google Play for Android, and in the iOS App Store for your iPhone or iPad. The thing that I wasn't too sure about is I saw it was for $10 in the Amazon App Store versus $2.99 on Google Play and iOS, but I did get it as I think when it was on sale or for free in the Amazon App Store, so that's why I'm not too sure about the current price. It might still be $2.99, but be sure it is compatible with your device before you buy it, and if you can get it on Google Play for cheaper, then do that. But definitely a game worth playing. It is a very long game, so don't expect to finish it quickly. I think it does require multiple hours. I mean, unless you do a walkthrough and see how to get through as fast as possible. But for me, I enjoy the playability, just wandering around the world, taking the mission or doing the missions at my own leisure, and just enjoying myself in the game. So that's Knights of the Old Republic. That's a Star Wars game in the Star Wars universe. It was originally made by BioWare. I forget who was ported it over, but it's available for Android and iOS, and definitely a game worth playing. So that is all for that. So after the short break, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you in a couple of great and exciting ways. So if you want to help expand the show and the network, we do have a couple of Patreons set up to help you support the show and the network in whatever way you can. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to see more posts on the feed, you want to have an Android app to quickly and easily get to the post and via different categories and things like that. Let's say you want to have a Q&A segment, then be sure to visit patreon.com/patelin01 to check out the various patron levels and what kind of things you can unlock by helping to support the show. You can also help support the network by visiting patreon.com/geekio. This helps our flagship show go ad-free. So let's say you just want to blaze through the show, listen to all of it uninterrupted. You can do things like that. Let's say you wanted a weekly D&D episode. Helping to contribute to the Geek.io Patreon can help do that as well, as well as adding special patron content, adding a new show, getting more con coverage, all of the great geeky, nerdy stuff that we all love. So that's patreon.com/geekio for all of that good stuff, as well as patreon.com/patelin01 to help the show expand as well. But that is all for that, so back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. I'll jump right into it. Not too much news in what I watched. Pretty short list of stuff, mostly because of a particular movie or a series of movies that were recently put onto Amazon Prime. So I'll get into that when I jump into this week's movie review. And then, of course, I'll jump into the Star Wars review this week. So with that, I'll jump right into it. As far as some news, Star Wars Celebration 2017 is scheduled to be in Orlando, Florida from April 13th to the 16th. So start checking on that to see if you can get tickets and all that good stuff. But they've set the city for 2017. And in other news, for May 4th of 2016, Funko Pop has announced new figures coming soon four characters from Star Wars The Force Awakens. They will start appearing on in July of 2016. So in a couple of months, you should start seeing, for example, Maz Kanata, Luke Skywalker, Rey, Finn, all of those, the various characters from The Force Awakens. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 2, Home. I will avoid the end spoiler for this episode in case you haven't seen it. You may have already heard about it if you haven't seen it, unless you've been avoiding the spoiler. But it was a good spoiler at that and resolves one particular question everyone's been having. So that's all I'll say about that. But overall, a very good episode. A lot of extra drama. Not necessarily resolution, but progress going forward. Good things for Sansa. Arya gets a job upgrade of sorts, and kind of just a variety of different resolutions. I also had a chance to watch Fear the Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 4, Blood in the Streets. So this was actually a decent enough episode. It was a lot of flashbacks, so it took a little bit to get into it as far as what was going on, where the status of everyone is, or what's kind of going on as far as Strand goes. I still wasn't able to figure out what was up with, actually, no, that actually resolved itself as far as why the kid was on the mainland and why he stopped at the one particular house and knocked on the door. So I think Fear the Walking Dead is starting to hit its stride as far as good episodes in progress, as far as storytelling and what kind of is going on with all the major characters. So I kind of want to see more now. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 2, Episode 19, Azrael. So we have the return of the former mayor guy. So Doctor Strange was able to bring someone back. So it gave him hope that he can do more. And also kind of rewire his brain. He realized with his head nurse lady that having someone regain their sanity when bringing them back from the dead requires telling a particular story. So I kind of like this episode. So it's interesting build up to the season finale next week. The only thing that kind of bugs me at this point, though, is kind of it's basically along the lines of we have Benedict Cumberbatch playing Doctor Strange in the films, and then we have, I think it's B.D. Wong, I think, playing Doctor Strange in the TV show. So I kind of wish there was some cohesiveness there where we have one guy playing both, but I guess DC wants to keep it separate, but that's neither here nor there. In either case, they're actually doing a good job as far as his storyline. I also had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 19, Failed Experiments. So we have more of Grant Ward's storyline, and then also kind of along the lines of what's going on as far as everyone at S.H.I.E.L.D. getting ready for the next attack. And then it also fits in Simmons working on a drug or medicine, not necessarily a cure, to stop Ward as Hive, to stop him from, to basically loosen his grip on all the other Inhumans and kind of stop that basically stop him from doing the damage that we think he's going to do. So I think next week is the season finale, but I actually didn't have a chance to look that up. So we are preparing for the battle and everyone on edge as far as what is going on. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's film review. So Amazon recently just put out a bunch of the old James Bond movies, and a few of the couple, I think one of the new ones that I remember. So for this film review, I'll be reviewing Goldfinger, but we also have You Only Live Twice. You Only Live Twice. So I'm actually in the middle of watching that one, and then, for example, Die Another Day, and a few other ones. So Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton's version of Bond. So if you want to catch up on those, there are a few available now that were not previously available. I don't think Dr. No and the ones that were there before are available still. So I'm planning on watching all of these just to catch up on those and get those watched before they're gone again. So with that, I will jump into this review. So Goldfinger released in the United States on January 9th, 1965. It has a runtime of 110 minutes. A brief summary of the movie is investigating a gold magnate smuggling, James Bond uncovers a plot to contaminate the Fort Knox gold reserve. So that is actually a good start to the plot. It actually turns out that rather than steal all the gold at Fort Knox, Goldfinger wants to destroy Fort Knox itself to increase the value of his own gold so he makes more money. So the movie has a rating on IMDb of 78% with a critic score of 96% and an audience score of 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. So generally well-favored, people did enjoy it. And I actually thought it was pretty good overall as well. At first glance, I probably would not have thought that the storyline was particularly interesting, but I did like the introduction and some of the key points in it that did it for me. So, to start it off, we have the introduction here of Oddjob. So I actually kind of liked his character, as he did a lot without even having to say a word. It was mostly just grunts and standing seriously and stoically. So I actually like the character, and it's good to have his origin story and backstory, or not really backstory, but his origin story seen in its entirety. The one thing that I start to see now as far as the James Bond vehicles go and the Q gadgets is that if there's a feature added, namely to the car, and Bond will somehow find a situation to use it in. So in this case, we have Bond or Q Branch adding an ejector seat to Bond's car, and he actually has a reason to use it. So that kind of was for my memory that, and then also on the lines of using the machine guns and the bulletproof spoiler and all of that. So I was like, all right, so if somehow I figure either Q is that good or it's a really weird coincidence that everything that Bond is given, he has a reason to use. Next up, though, the thing that was kind of weird for me is that why don't more villains allow their prisoners to change into a suit and tie? So part of it, I think, is that Goldfinger is very, very overconfident. So he allowed Bond to change, but it seemed kind of weird that he let him do that in the first place, especially if he's a prisoner. So why not keep him in the same clothes, or why not just give him basic attire and that's it? Don't let him be in his own comfort zone. And finally, 007 on the timer was oddly convenient. So we have the bomb at the end that's set to go off and blow up Fort Knox. And Bond is able to, with the explosives guys, make it stop at the last second. Or not, actually not at the last second, but stop it in time, and it stops at 7 seconds. So it was actually very convenient. And a bit of the IMDb trivia says that the countdown timer didn't actually match the countdown that we saw on the screen, because if there was a true match, I think it would have stopped at like 1 or 2 seconds or something like that. So a bit of oddity there, but it was kind of convenient they stopped it at 7 seconds. So overall, a pretty good movie. I kind of enjoyed it, much like the other, most other Bond, or I think it was the last Bond movie that I saw, whatever the, I think this was the fifth one, so I think whatever the third one, the second or third one was, it seemed basically just like an action, another action movie. So it was a Bond movie in its time, would have made sense, but I guess now knowing that that's how it is, it makes sense. But in general, it's a general action movie. In any other case, it would have just been a average action movie. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's Star Wars profile. So matching with the movie, or the film review being Goldfinger and the theme being the gold standard, I figured what better review to do than C-3PO, the goldest person or goldest character in the Star Wars universe. So C-3PO was actually originally manufactured by a company called Cybot Galactica and classified as a protocol droid. So regardless of the incarnation, his first duties were as a protocol droid. He stands 5.6 feet tall, so of average human height, so he's not overtowering or shorter than most humans in the galaxy. His normal plating color is gray and is painted other colors to suit whatever it is needed by the droid's owner. So in the case of Senator Amidala, painted gold, And he kept that color for the rest of his lifespan. C-3PO's original job, though, was a chief negotiator for the Manicron system back after his initial creation. His first job, though, was programming binary load lifters, as we learn in New Hope. He fell into disarray, though, over the years, and somehow made his way into the junk pile on Tatooine, where Anakin found him and started rebuilding him to be a protocol droid for his mother. Anakin also replated him to withstand the harsher climates and temperatures of Tatooine, because he was originally not plated to withstand those temperatures. Since he was more of a protocol droid and programmed for binary load lifters, it was more accustomed to more moderate temperatures and climates, so that was a obvious upgrade that needed to be done. As a protocol droid, as we know, he is fluent in 6 million forms of communications. He was also good at translating other droids, notably R2-D2 and now BB-8, as well as computer languages, as we saw in The Empire Strikes Back, where he was able to identify that the code was not a Republic or a Rebellion standard, so it's probably the Empire. He was generally able to program moisture evaporators and binary load lifters, both machines being generally the same, so he was able to work at on the Lars homestead the second time. He actually did know how to program them to begin with, because he did work there before, I would imagine. So either that was stuck in his memory banks, or because binary load lifters and moisture evaporators are similar in design, he can work with both. So that's all for that. So a bit of fun fact is that he worked for Klieg Lars fixing the moisture evaporators, and then later returned years later to work for Owen Lars fixing the moisture evaporators during the Galactic Empire. So he had the same job more or less in two different time periods in two different governments. So I thought that was a bit of an intriguing note. So whether he remembered it or not, he did have the same job twice and was able to continue to function his primary duties. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com, or you can find me on Twitter at patelN01. And of course, you can find us and listen to the show on Google Play Music, Pocket Cast, iTunes. Of course, you can leave a review there. Make sure you can thumbs up and thumbs down episodes on Google Play Music. So be sure to give us a thumbs up there. You can also find this. You can find past episodes and links on the website at patelN01.com, and find more shows on the Geek IO Network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.